Toy maker Lego wants to use a plant-based material for its blocks, but it's struggling to find a plastic that clicks.
The struggles have mainly been they've wanted to scale up, they've been trying to find a technology and a material that'll help them do that, and they just haven't gotten there yet.
Kim Gittleson will talk with the Wall Street Journal's Sabra Chaudhry. Plus, Google fires several lobby firms as the company faces a number of federal probes into its business.
Google is overhauling its lobbying and public policy operation in Washington, one of the biggest government influence shops of any company in the Capitol.
And more worries for Facebook. It's uncovered emails that appear to link Mark Zuckerberg to questionable privacy practices at the company. This is What's News from the Wall Street Journal. I'm Charlie Turner in New York. Before we get to our main story about Lego, here are some other stories we're following. Google has fired about a half a dozen lobby firms as part of a major overhaul of its global government affairs and policy operations. The restructuring has been going on for several months. The Wall Street Journal's Ted Mann has more.
This is not entirely about the antitrust attention that the company is getting with Democratic presidential candidates and the Justice Department now looking into whether this is a company that's become a monopoly that would need to be broken up. But the context of this antitrust scrutiny is certainly very much at front of mind for the company. And part of what they're doing now is changing out the team they had and reallocating money to presumably some new lobbyists and other sort of influence firms who will help them fight back against any attempt by this administration, a successor administration, or by the Congress to change the way they do business.
Google emerged unscathed in 2012 when the Federal Trade Commission ended a probe without pursuing an antitrust case against the company. Mann says the question now is whether Google can prevail against the Justice Department. Facebook has uncovered emails that appear to connect Chief Executive Mark Zuckerberg to potentially problematic privacy practices at the company. That's according to sources quoted by the Wall Street Journal. They say the newly unearthed emails could be a fresh PR problem for Facebook amid a continuing privacy investigation by the Federal Trade Commission. Facebook is operating under a 2012 consent decree with the agency related to privacy, and sources say the emails sent around that time suggest that Mr. Zuckerberg and other senior executives didn't make compliance with the FTC order a priority. President Trump on Wednesday asserted executive privilege over documents demanded by a House committee in its investigation of a citizenship question the administration added to the U.S. Census survey. The assertion was made as the House Oversight Committee prepared to vote to hold Attorney General William Barr and Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross in contempt for ignoring its subpoena seeking information about efforts to add a citizenship question to the 2020 census. For the latest developments on this story, click on our website, WSJ.com.
Lego is struggling to find a plant-based plastic that clicks. It's had a hard time trying to figure out how to use bioplastic in its iconic brick toys. Here to tell me more is Sabra Chaudhry. So talk to me a little bit about your story. First off, your lead is amazing. I have to read it out. You say that Lego spent the past 7 years trying to make its blocks with plastic derived from plants, but it keeps hitting brick walls. Tell me a little bit about those walls. What are the troubles it's had?
So Lego in 2012 said it would first start its journey to try to move away from oil and replace all of its raw materials, its packaging, and the raw materials used in its bricks with sustainable alternatives. And so that means either plastic that is being recycled or bio-based plastic, plastic that isn't made from oil. And Lego's largely chosen to focus on plant-based plastics because they say finding a stream of recycled materials where they can guarantee the quality is going to be very difficult for the volumes that they need. And so they've chosen to focus on plants. The issue is that fast forward to 2019, so 7 years after they made that commitment, and actually this is less than 2% of their overall portfolio. And so the struggles have mainly been they've wanted to scale up. They've been trying to find a technology and a material that'll help them do that. and they just haven't gotten there yet.
Why are they doing this? Are other toy makers also trying to find bioplastic sources for their toys?
So I think Lego is different to a lot of other toy makers because most of what it makes, in fact, all of what it makes is its bricks. And all of its bricks come from oil at the moment. And so that's the big challenge for Lego compared with other toy makers. Other toy makers have materials that aren't plastic. All of Lego's materials are plastic. So to answer your question, no, it's actually a pledge that just Lego has made. Nobody else has made. Nobody else in the industry has set itself a target saying by 2030, we are going to strive to achieve all sustainable materials for all of our products. And why Lego is doing it? We think that the pressure is largely self-imposed. They want to cultivate this kind of wholesome image saying, you know, we're Lego, we create toys that are going to help you and your children live better. And I think there's a quote in my story which sums it up quite nicely, where their head of environmental responsibility is essentially saying, you know, we can't say we want to build the leaders of the future if we're destroying the planet simultaneously.
You do mention some other companies that have also struggled with these renewable goals. I think you mentioned Coca-Cola and IKEA. What are some of the struggles they've seen?
Similar to Lego, I think. So Coke, a few years ago, came out with what they call a plant-based plastic bottle that incorporates 30% plant-based plastic. They have struggled to find that remaining 70%, so they haven't been able to scale up. The remaining 70% is still oil-based plastic. And that's very similar to the threshold Lego was able to achieve. They were able to hit that 30%. They weren't able to go further. And IKEA is another one I mentioned. So they have a product on the market right now that is made from bio-based plastic, but it's one freezer bag. And again, they've struggled really to scale up. And I think the reason that all of these companies are struggling is it's easy to find bio-based plastics for some types of materials. So Lego is doing this for softer elements. So fishing rods and tree leaves and dragon's wings and materials that aren't its hard core bricks. But when it comes to the harder materials, they still haven't found a material that has all of the many properties that they need it to. You know, it needs to click like a Lego brick. It needs to make that sound. It needs to have that exact kind of pull and push. It can't break. It can't lose color. So they have a long list of criteria, not to mention it needs to come from a source that is in fact sustainable. And they just haven't found a plant-based material that has all of those properties. And I think that's something that every company is struggling with. They all have their own criteria. And the technology just isn't quite there yet.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
And the Wall Street Journal wants to know what you think. Would you pay more for plastic products made from renewable sources? Join the conversation at WSJ.com. There's some bad news for residents of high-tax states. The Treasury Department has released new rules that shut down a tax planning strategy that could have helped residents of states like New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut get around the new cap for state and local tax deductions. With more on this, we're joined by Wall Street Journal U.S. tax policy reporter Richard Rubin. Now, Rich, under the GOP tax law, individuals and married couples filing jointly can deduct at the most $10,000 of their state and local tax payments from their federal taxable income. In response, states enacted workarounds to this. What were they?
Well, those workarounds basically took advantage of the fact that the charitable contribution deduction is not capped, even though the state and local deduction is. And so what those programs did is they basically converted what would otherwise be state taxes into deductible charitable contributions. You could make a donation to a state-affiliated fund, and then you get state income tax credits or state properties or local property tax credits for that. And so your tax bill would go down and stay under the limit while your charitable contributions would go up.
So what do the new Treasury regulations do?
The Treasury regulation, they say, you're actually getting something in exchange for that charitable contribution. So it's like if you go to a charity dinner and you pay $100 and the cost of the dinner is $50, you can only deduct the remaining $50, not the full $100. And so it's a similar kind of principle, a quid pro quo, a benefit principle, and that says you have to subtract any tax credits you get from your charitable contribution, and that basically makes these programs not work.
Why did the tax law cut the deduction cap by so much?
I mean, there was no deduction cap before, except to the extent there it was limited somewhat if people were in the alternative minimum tax. There were a couple arguments. One was that because most of the benefit went to high tax states, that it ended up being a sort of federal tax subsidy for those states. The other argument was that the Republicans needed money to pay for their rate cuts, and so it was a way of broadening the tax base and lowering tax rates.
Well, might states and municipalities go to court to challenge these new regulations, Rich?
Sure. I mean, you certainly may see some of that happening, from New York and even from in some red state programs that were sort of like this and predated the 2017 tax law. But, you know, the Treasury's on pretty solid ground trying to interpret and implement the purpose of the cap. And if you allow people to essentially turn state taxes into charitable contributions, you're really kind of circumventing the cap there. There were programs in Arizona and South Carolina and Alabama and Georgia and other states that have been similar, that essentially let people make donations to private entities and get state tax credits for them. And under the old tax law, that generally didn't give you much of a federal tax benefit. It now did. And those programs are really going to be affected. There is a small exception for people who make donations and total tax payments under $10,000. But in general, this is going to limit those programs, just like it's going to limit what New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut were trying to do.
Wall Street Journal U.S. tax policy reporter Richard Rubin joining us from Washington. Thanks, Rich.
Thank you.
That's What's News for Wednesday afternoon. I'm Charlie Turner for The Wall Street Journal.